even not for karet. A person, nobody can, no person, no Jew is different than the other. All the Jews have to keep all the Torah exactly how it says. No, I said that Chilul Hashem, only the mitah, the death atones. Karet is any of the prohibitions. It's not only karet, it's also mitah bidei shamayim. Any of the prohibitions, the ones that really relate to us, is Lashon Hara, Shabbat, Yom Kippur, Pesach, and all the forbidden relations that a lot of us, either in the past or in the present, still fail in them. The sins can also be in your thought, not only with action. Excuse me? The first and most important step is not to do the sin anymore. That's the most important step. Since the sin covered the entire Torah, then in order for me to start fixing it, I have to do all the Torah with no discounts. The Zohar says that the fixing of the karet, the Zohar explains it, imagine you take a rope and you cut the rope. So now you have two pieces of the rope. Seemingly, it's two separate entities and you can't connect them. You can't glue them. How do you fix that? You take the rope and you make a knot. You make a kesher. And in order for it to be a strong knot, you make another kesher, another knot. And then you kvetch it and you have like this bunkele. Now, not only that you fix the karet, you made it twice strong. The connection is even more stronger. So that's why the Zohar says, if a person wants to fix the karet, not only they will fix the impression, the karet is an impression, he will make it much more stronger. But first of all, the most important thing is to leave the sin, which is a very hard stage. Because to leave completely the sin, I'll give you an example. When I became religious, I used to keep Shabbat. I knew Shabbat is one of the most important things. Only maybe 5 years ago, I found out that I'm not really keeping Shabbat. Because I started learning all the laws of Shabbat, and I was like, ooh, you're not allowed to do this, ooh, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to do this. I found out I'm not really keeping Shabbat. And in the Shabbat, and okay, I'm not working, I'm not talking on the phone, I'm like keeping Shabbat 100%. But I'm forgetting to do this, I'm failing here, and I'm failing here, and I'm failing here. So technically I'm not keeping Shabbat. So I made it my highest priority to learn all the Hilchot Shabbat to make sure that my Shabbat is 100%. And when you really learn all the halachot of Shabbat, A, you find out that how many times you do Chilul Shabbat. More than that, I said before, the ultimate way to fix anything is Shabbat. Shabbat is the highest time to fix all the blemishes. So to fix the karet, the first thing is not to do the sin at all. The second thing, you have to do all the stages. You have to do the confession, you have to do the remorse, you have to not do it again. The confession, I'll tell you why confession is so powerful. Because we know the Gemara explains that when a person does a sin, on the spot he creates a malach, an angel. The Gemara calls it malach habala, a destructive angel. This angel goes up to Shamayim to prosecute against that person, and that angel stands next to that person and annoys that person all day long, till that person kills him. Some of the sins, you create a couple of angels. And some of the sins, you create thousands of angels. So when a person says Lashon Hara, for every letter from a pasuk, a whole sentence, from every letter, thousands of malachim. When a man goes and he's together with a woman that is not his wife, from the sperm that comes out, exactly like according to nature, there's thousands of sperm counts, thousands of them, the person creates thousands of angels. Same thing with Shabbat. You can keep Shabbat, you can lechalel Shabbat, technically, according to halacha, only 39 times. Why? Because there's 39 prohibitions, 39 melachot that you're not allowed to do. So a person can only, the maximum that a person, every chilul Shabbat, every melacha, you have to bring one korban, one chatat. Meaning that if a person did all 39s, he can only reach to the peak of 39. He can't do 30, like 42. But you can do from each one of the 39, 10 times. 390 times you did chilul Shabbat on one day. How many melachim a person creates? So, you know, I'll give you an example. Somebody not too long ago asked me in a lecture, can you explain to me why driving is Chilul Shabbat? Where does it say in the Torah I'm not allowed to drive? Why is driving Chilul Shabbat? If you give me a good explanation, I'm going to consider not to drive anymore. So I said, okay, it's very simple. It says in the Torah, "Lo tevaru esh v'kol meshvotechem." You're not allowed to light fire anywhere where you dwell in. So he says, where are you lighting fire when you drive a car? I told him, go to a mechanic and ask him how our car works. I'm not a mechanic, but I'll tell you in two words how it works. In the engine, there's cylinders, 4 or 6 or 8 cylinders. They're all positioned in different heights. One cylinder goes up, and it hits what's called, I don't know how you call it in English, it hits a plug. I don't know how you call it in English.
It's plug.
Yeah. When it hits it, it creates a spark. Now the cylinder goes down. The fuel injection injects fuel into the buchna, into the cylinder. As the same second, there's no air. The same second that the cylinder goes down, it injects fuel from here and air from here. And the spark from the plug makes an explosion. I'll give you an example. There's a halakha that, let's say I'm I hitchhike, and it's now 10 minutes before Shabbat, and I'm hitchhiking, and a guy stops the car. I'm allowed to get into the car, knowing that he's going to drive on Shabbat, according, of course, seemingly that he has to be a non-Jew. As long as he drops me off exactly where I need to go. I can only go one out of the car once. Technically, I can be in the car driving on Shabbat. Now, so it has nothing to do with Moshavotechem. Yeah, exactly. But here, I totally don't want to...
Because I hear this so many times, people ask me, I don't know what to say. The car is not inside the house.
The answer to say is, hold on, the answer to say is that I didn't finish with the whole cylinder. The thing is that every time you press the gas and the cylinders go up and down, you're igniting fire like 1,000 times in a second. That's how many Chilulei Shabbat is in one little drive. The Moshavotechem is one thing. I don't want to get sidetracked, because every time I get sidetracked, I forget where I stopped. But the prohibition of driving is just because you're igniting the fire constantly. It doesn't matter where your car is parked, it doesn't matter where you live. It's the fact that every time you press the gas, you're making the engine work. Every second, you know, if you look at the gauge, it says RPM, rounds per second. Sometimes you make 5,000 rounds per second. Can you imagine how many how many igniting you make? So it has nothing to do with Moshavotechem. The answer to give is that you're not allowed to light fire. When you light a car, you light fire. And a lot of somebody in that specific lecture told me, well, what about the electric cars? They don't work on this. There's also a problem with electric cars. I'm not a rabbi that the posek balachot, but to make a long story short, I really don't want to stop about that. The main problem of driving is the havara shel ha'esh. So a person can drive on Shabbat, and he has thousands of these malachim that he created. How is he getting rid of this? He can only do tshuva once. So the way to get rid of these malachim, first of all, like I said before, making other people don't do it. If I now convince a person, come and keep Shabbat, and I make him not desecrate the Shabbat, it goes into my bank. More than that, one of the great ways, this is what Arizal says, that when you do vidui, you kill all these malachim. Just saying the words, that's how powerful your words are. Every time you do vidu, you kill thousands of malachim. That's the way to clean it.
Vidu is the word with the
siddur. Hashamnu, bagadnu, yeah. That's why on Yom Kippur you say it so many times. So the power of the word kills them. So to reverse really the karet, first of all, you can't do the sin anymore. Now the thing is that a Baal Tshuva, he has to fix karet in Pesach, because he ate chametz. He has to fix karet he ate on Yom Kippur. He has to fix karet. There's a lot of kretot. It's not only one. So a Baal Tshuva has a lot of work to do. So if a person knows the destination, he says, I know where I want to go, then Hashem gives him his whole life to do tshuva. And a lot of work. And yes, he has to, first of all, leave the sin. That's it. No more doing the sin anymore. As hard as it is. And then he has to do all the stages that I said. And then he kind of reversed the situation, but the blemish might be still there. If it's a karet in a negative prohibition, then he has to atone for it. He has to do a lot of vidui. He has to pray a lot. I have a class online. You should go and do it, explaining according to Kabbalah how prayer reverses the sin of karet. But one of the things is to make other people not do it. This is another way of fixing the karet. Now, how does a person really know that the sin got atoned? How do I know that I got mechila in shamayim? So for the severe sins, I said before, the Gemara explains that tshuva ve'yom kippurim tolim, the tshuva and Yom Kippur puts the sin on hold, ve'yesurim emarkim. And the yesurim, the suffering, washes off all these stains. Lemarek means to like, really like clean, like the chunt pot after Shabbat, you have to like really, because it's dry. That's why the yesurim come on us. And the more yesurim the person gets, meaning that Hashem is really, really cleaning him. That's why when a person is smart, he says, yeah, I have yesurim, I understand why. Thank you for the yesurim, and I don't want them to stop, because if a person doesn't have yesurim, I'm going to get to you in a second. If a person doesn't have yesurim, his situation is very bad. Very, very bad. If Yom Kippur passed and everything is perfect, that person has to be very afraid, because it means his tshuva was not accepted in Shamayim and he's not getting any yesurim. If a person doesn't have any problem for 40 days, the Gemara says, if a person, im lo ba'al adam, yesurim, 40 yom, a person is not getting any problem for 40 days, he should be very worried. It means something's going on. It means Hashem is turning his head away and he's ignoring him, chas v'shalom. That's why when we constantly have yisurim, it's good. Now there's also levels of yisurim. The Gemara says, what's yisurim? What is the definition of yisurim? What is the definition of suffering? The Gemara says, we are kids, we're the children of a king. You are a daughter of a king. For you, any little thing that makes you uncomfortable is yisurim. And the Gemara gives an example that you put your hand into a pocket and you wanted to take out a dollar and came out instead of it a quarter, this is yisurim for you, because it didn't work out how you wanted. I say that yisurim, even a mosquito at night does in your ear and annoys you, that's yisurim. And he bites you, and then the whole day that's yisurim. You're looking for parking and you're driving around the block, that's yisurim. Everything is yisurim. You're late for a class, and you're late for a meeting or something, and you go to the bank, there's a line of 50 people, this is yisurim, everything is yisurim. Then comes yisurim, serious yisurim. So the thing is, yisurim, the translation is suffering.
Hardships.
Hardship is a nicer way to say it. So, if a person is going through hardships in yisurim, means that the tshuva was accepted. So how does one know that his tshuva was really accepted? Is that he constantly gets yisurim. Now, how do you explain a person that did tshuva 10 years ago and now he is Talmid Chacham, all day long studies Torah and does all the mitzvot and still gets yisurim? Well, how can you explain that? First of all, we don't even know the history of anyone. Somebody met me not too long ago in a lecture and he told me, what you did, he told me about me, is nothing compared to what I did. A whole life is not going to be enough for me to do tshuva. Wow. So I told him, first of all, you don't know the severity of each sin, how many times the sin were done. Sometimes we're paying for sins from previous reincarnations. The yisurim never stop. But if a person, everything is good in his life, that's why a lot of people says, you know, I'm working so hard, and I'm doing all the mitzvot, and I'm doing everything, and my life is hell. And that guy is the biggest sinner, and everything is well. Yeah, because Hashem niframa ha-rasha'im ba'olam hazeh, Hashem pays off to the wicked people in this world. So if a person, you see this person, everything's good, tons of money, everything is well, the business is running, beautiful home, healthy kids, everything looks like a pink, perfect life, just know that that person is in big trouble, because in Shamayim they're already ignoring him, that everything is good. So when you're going through hardships, just thank Hashem every day that He brings on you the Yisurim. Of course you can sweeten it by praying, by doing a lot of things beyond your means. You see the Lashon, when we pray, especially in Kriyat Shema, we're asking Hashem to sweeten our sins, ולא על ידי יסורים, ולא על ידי חלאים רעים, ולא על ידי, על ידי צרות. You sweeten it. And how you sweeten your din is when you go beyond what you're supposed to do. When you go beyond what you're supposed to do, you minimize and you minimize these judgments. But the Yisurim come constantly to clean us. And the thing is, it doesn't matter who you are and how religious you are, we still fail every day. Every day. We still fail and we still have to do tshuva for it every day. That's why we say Kriyat Shema L'Amitah every day, so we can do tshuva. And then we'll get a little bit of Yisurim. And we learn that the Yisurim is so good for us from David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, Shiftecha Mishantecha Hema Yenachamuni. Your staff and your love will be a comfort to me. So even when Hashem is hard with us, it's good. If Hashem is not going to be hard with us, we're going to totally lose our direction. Hashem has to hold us strong, and on the other hand, also give us a lot of love. So to kind of put everything together, so we learned that for a positive mitzvah that I didn't do, you only need to do tshuva, and it's forgiven. To fix the chisaron, what I'm missing, can only be done, I can't do it again, it's light, godly light that I was not able to bring down to the world, is only by having somebody else do it because of me. That's the only way to fix it. So if a person does the cheshbon, does the calculation, how many Shabbatot I missed, how many tefillin I missed, how many Kriyat Shema I missed, you do the calculation and you fix it. The Zarizal also explains that one can fix it with also fasting. There's a certain amount of fast for each sin. I'm going to talk about it in a second about the kretot. But with a positive mitzvah that you missed, first of all, you have to start doing the mitzvot. And the way to fix the chisaron, what is lacking, is having other people do it. On a negative prohibition that I missed, from the simple ones, is not to do it anymore. To reach to Yom Kippur, do tshuva, and I'm done. That's it. I'm good to go. If I want to fix a lot of these blemishes, because I always explain it that when a person does an avera, not only that he creates this malach habara, this angel, he also does a blemish on his soul. Now the soul cannot be blemished because neshama shenatata b'torai, the soul is a piece of Hashem, you can't damage the soul, but the soul is dressed into spiritual garments, and when I do a sin, I blemish the garments. So I have to wash off the garments. One of the way of washing off these garments in a negative prohibition is the same thing, having other people do it instead of me. Another way of doing it is doing it more than what I'm supposed to do. And I'll give you an example. A man is only obligated to wear tzitzit only if he's wearing a garment that has four corners. So I'm technically, if I'm wearing this jacket, the corners are round, I don't have to wear tzitzit. And my shirt is round, I don't have to wear tzitzit. And my t-shirt doesn't have corners, I don't have to wear tzitzit. Technically, I'm not obligated in wearing tzitzit. But I'm going beyond what I'm supposed to do, and I put on myself a garment that has four corners in order to do the mitzvah. So I'm doing beyond what I'm supposed to do. And it's hot to go outside in 90 degrees with tzitzit. It's not so easy. So a lot of times we see mitzvah that I'm not supposed to, and I'm obligated to do, but I still do it. With tzitzit, there's also a big malah in it, that a man is covered, it's like a bulletproof vest, like a spiritual bulletproof vest. Not only that, a person who puts tzitzit on him, a lot of people say when they put tzitzit, ote or kasalman, ote shamayim kairiya, that the tzitzit is like hovering over my soul, and constantly the tzitzit is compared to the oath, keneged kol mitzvot, I'm constantly surrounded with all the mitzvot of Hashem. So if you can wear a tzitzit, you make sure your son wears a tzitzit, you make sure your husband wears a tzitzit. And if you mastered that already, you make sure that people who don't have money to buy the children tzitzit, you buy for them tzitzit. Or you find a man that doesn't go with tzitzit, and you donate the tzitzit. And if a man now, if you now gave $20 to buy tzitzit, and I give it to a man that he's wearing it, every second that he wears the tzitzit, you get part of it. So you can easily get partnerships in many, many things. You know, there's a rabbi in Israel, a great rabbi, Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak. And one of his things was that when he used to go to lectures, he used to get people to put tzitziot on them. Imagine the sponsor that bought the tzitziot, how many mitzvot he has. So a lot of women tell me, I don't have to wear tzitzit, I don't have to say Kriyat Shema, I don't have to put tefillin. Oh, don't worry, I know many people that you can help them buy tefillin. So a woman can also achieve that. So a person can constantly do beyond what he's supposed to do. That really washes off. This is the tshuva ila'a, a high level of tshuva. Because I'm not supposed to do it, I'm not obligated to do it, but I'm still doing it. For the fourth category of Chilul Hashem, then I have to wait for my death. And I do tshuva my whole life, I dare never do it again. But for the karet, one needs to do all these stages that I said. First of all, azov et achet, not to do the sin anymore. Then to do all the four stages that I mentioned. Then to mainly concentrate on the vidui. Now we spoke about it a few weeks ago, that a woman is obligated to pray at least once a day. No woman is exempt from praying. If somebody tells you a woman is not supposed to pray, don't listen to him. Because the Sfaradiyot, they pray, they're obligated to pray once a day. Ashkenaziyot pray twice a day. And a woman is obligated in praying. And if it's hard for you to pray Shacharit, then pray Mincha. It takes exactly 10 minutes. And if you can't pray Mincha because you have kids, you pray Arvit when the kids go to sleep. It takes 15 minutes. But a woman has to pray. And better to pray either Shacharit or Mincha because you get to do the Vidui in those prayers. In Arvit, you don't say Tachanun at night. You don't say the Vidui at night. So you might as well grab the Mincha. Shacharit is long, if you can, but better to do Shacharit. And if Chas V'Shalom you already missed the Tefillah, then you must do Kriyat Shema Lamita, and there's no place that allows or gives a discount to a woman to say Kriyat Shema Lamita. A woman is also supposed to say Kriyat Shema Lamita, and in the Kriyat Shema Lamita you also say Vidui. So you have the opportunity of fixing all these Kretot. Another way of fixing all the Kretot is, like I told you, is by helping others to not do it anymore. And the ultimate of the ultimate is keeping Shabbat exactly 100% how the halacha teaches us to keep Shabbat. If a person keeps Shabbat 100%, all the blemishes that he did, he fixes. Because the ultimate part of the sin is the separation of the Kedusha. What is the definition of Kedusha and Tumah? Kedusha is Yichud, is keeping the light together. And Tumah is the opposite of Kedusha, is separating the light, the godly light. So when I do an Avera, I separate this godly light. What's the ultimate Yichud? Is Shabbat. Shabbat is what's called Yichud Ha'ila, the highest level of when I connect the light together. So each one of us that wants to really reach that level that I atone for my Kretot, is to make sure that you do everything that I told you, plus the Shabbat. And the Shabbat is the ultimate. And each one can do, women or men. So you take 5 minutes a day, and every day you learn five laws of Shabbat. And if you, there's many, many books, doesn't matter if it's Faradi or Ashkenazi, doesn't matter. There's many books that are in very simple language. You don't have to go to Shulchan Aruch. That are compiled very easy language, easy to understand, with examples from our day of age, talking about microwave, talking about cars, talking about cell phones. Because everybody comes with all sorts of... Tichkumim, and they come with discounts.
What about getting upset, things like that on Shabbat? That's also part of the
tshuva. Getting upset in general is very, very bad.
No, but I'm saying...
Shabbat is even more. Everything you do on Shabbat is 1,000 times more.
Is that Chilul Shabbat considered? Or like, how does that...
No, Chilul Shabbat...
It takes you off, right?
No, if you get upset on Shabbat, it's not a Chilul Shabbat, but... The attribute of kas, forget about that, the spirit. Anything you do on Shabbat is magnified 1,000. You do positive, it's magnified 1,000. You do negative, Hashem Berachem, it's magnified 1,000. Kas, anger, bechlal, is a very, very bad thing. Every person should make sure that he works on his midah of kas, because when a person is upset, the second that he gets his kriza, all his mitzvot are taken away right away, on the spot. Kol minei geinam sholtim bo.
How do you do when somebody constantly just...
That's what you do. And when a person... Yeah. No, you're holding it in. You know what happens when you hold in your anger? All the klipot that you created are burning from inside. That's the greatest ma'ala when a person is holding his anger. If a person explodes... No, if a person explodes, it corresponds to Shvirat HaKelim, just balagan. All the light gets shattered. And at the second that the person explodes, it says that he's Oved Avodah Zara, it's like idol worship. And it says, Kol Minei Geinam Sholtim Bo. He has no control of his body. That's why you see people get upset, they curse, they break, but the person who's holding in his anger, all the klipot that he did the entire life that are inside of him, the same way that bursting, it's like fire, he contains the fire in him, he's burning all these klipot. This is the highest level to a person to reach, to hold his anger and to swallow his pride. If a person wants to do real tshuva, Hashem will push the buttons that the person will be in the place to explode. And if the person comes down, ma'avir al midotav, that's it. He won his Gan Eden. That's very hard to do. So if somebody pisses you off on Shabbat, you go to the room and bang the head in the wall. Just don't do anything.
So your kid comes to the dinner table, he's got like snot all over his nose, and he goes like this and like this.
No, this is nothing to get upset over. No, wipe his face with a smile and tell him you're such a cute boy and you're such a good boy. Okay, she's asking a good question. She's asking a good question by saying that she lives in an area that there's no Jews there. And it's isolated. Okay, many Jews. Okay, you're not allowed. The Torah teaches us you are not allowed to do a mitzvah. You're not allowed to do an avera to do a mitzvah. You're not allowed to do a sin in order to do a mitzvah. Hold on. Doing here you're doing this is a totally different example. But the Torah teaches us we're not allowed to do a sin to do a mitzvah. So yeah, it's a mitzvah to go to a shul to pray, but you can desecrate Shabbat by driving to do a mitzvah. In regards to her question, she says she lives very far away from any Jewish inhabitant. No shul, no friends, no nothing. And sometimes she feels depressed and sad during the Shabbat. And wouldn't Hashem want me to be happy? So first of all, this is my etzah, and this is my advice to most people that have the same problem, is if the Shabbat is so important to you, you move to a place where you're close to a synagogue. So exactly going back to the same place I said before, when you have the destination, you do whatever you need to do for the destination. Now I know it's not easy. I'm just giving you what's the ultimate of doing. La'olam adam yagur b'makom shel Torah. A person wants to be connected to Torah. If I want to be in the area of Torah, I'm not going to live in Zimbabwe. The only people who are disconnecting themselves from the area of Torah, you see the Chabad rabbis that go to in the middle of nowhere to plow open a Chabad house. Why? So a Jew will pass there and they will grab him. This is the only time the Torah can maybe allow you to leave your surrounding. And you know, not everybody can leave to the middle of nowhere. Because the most people, they get affected from their surrounding. To reach to the point that I affect my surrounding and my surrounding doesn't affect me is a very high level. There's a law in the laws of Chalav and Basar, meat and dairy, that, you know, how do you kosher the meat? You have to salt it. Now, in the olden days when I had one cow, it's nothing. I put a table and I put the meat on and I put the salt on it and I kosher it. But how do you do in our days when they have hundreds and thousands of cows? How do you kosher tons of meat? Well, you need football stadiums to spread the meat. So what do? They pile up the meat. You go to a place where they kosher meat, you'll see piles of meat. So there's a question. Wait a minute. What does the meat salt do? The salt absorbs the blood out of the meat. That's how you kosher the meat. Now, if now I'm putting two pieces of meat, the question in halakha is what happens if one meat is taref and the piece on top of it is not taref? Does the one on the bottom that is not kosher making the one on the top not kosher too? Because it's polets the taste that is not kosher? So the halakha explains that whatever is busy, kol ma she'asuk beliflot, lo polet. Anything that is busy with exporting. Exporting is not the right word. I don't know the right word to liflot. But liflot is when you spit out constantly. So how do you kosher the meat? The meat, poletet atam. So when something is busy liflot, it can't observe, can't take in. So when a person goes out to the world and he's constantly polet, he's not going to get observed by his surroundings. So most people are not in the level to be not affected by his surroundings. I'll give you an example. I lived in New York now, 17 years, in a horrible neighborhood in Brooklyn. Everything is broken down, old. Brooklyn is disgusting. And there's, I think, the most biggest condensed communities of Jewish people in Brooklyn. One next to the other. Thousands. Why are they so strong? There's no Gashmius. There's no... It's not LA. Then I come to LA a few months ago. Wow. Beautiful houses. Beautiful streets. Trees. I didn't have trees in New York. We had a corner next to our house, had like a few leaves. So, you know, I see people that they come out of New York, they come to LA, oh, it's so nice here, and the Avodat Hashem, the Yirat Shamayim goes down. Why? The surrounding affects the person. Suddenly everybody's driving nice cars. Hey, I want to drive a nice car. Everybody has nice houses. Hey, I want to have a nice car. And you know, in New York, nobody has cars, so I don't need to have a nice car. And everybody's dressed nice. I want to be dressed nice. Everybody this. The surrounding constantly affects us. So for a person to not be affected by his surrounding, he has to constantly... How would you say liflot in English? Not reject.
I'm going to take the Hebrew English.
Okay, we're going to come back to the translation. So when a person is busy with that, the surrounding doesn't affect him. So if... I actually wanted to answer her and she stepped out. But I'll repeat it. If a person wants to concentrate on his Avodat Hashem, of his serving Hashem, he has to surround himself with everything that he needs. So for example, I'm doing now Aliyah to Eretz Israel. So when we were choosing which city to go, we had a list. We need yeshivas. We need synagogues, we need kosher food, we need mikveh, we need this, we need this. I'm not going to go and live in I don't know where, that there's nothing. I have to live where there's everything. So when a person wants to... So when a person wants to be on the path of serving Hashem, he has to position himself where he has everything around him. So to answer your question... So to answer your question, ultimately you want to move to a religious, to a place that you have it all. If you don't have it in the meantime, then you know it's your Yetzer Hara that will come and tell you, "Ah, oh, you're by yourself, and you could have done this, and you could have done that," to make you upset. But you could look at it in a totally different way. Hey, wait a minute, quality time with my husband. I see my wife once a week, and I get to speak to her. We text each other. I barely see my wife. You know what it means for me? If I would have 10 minutes today, I had breakfast with my wife, 20 minutes to talk, it's precious. If I would have the whole Shabbat to spend with her, that's amazing. Hey, it's time for me to concentrate on my prayers. I can pray for 2 hours now. I can learn now 3 hours. No, you know, I love my kids very much, but they distract me from learning and doing what I'm supposed to do. So you could look at anything in a positive light. So your Yetzer Hara will come and tell you, you're by yourself. You could have been in a synagogue right now. You could have hung out with friends now. The Yetzer Hara will come and make you upset. It all depends on how you look at the bad situation. A bad situation can be defined as a very good situation. So when a person really wants to be on the path that he's getting closer to Hashem, he has to make his entire life surrounded that everything caters to his needs. It's not the easiest thing. I know a lot of people. I know I have a very good friend who became Chozer Betshuva, and he worked in a very not right place, but it was his job, and he needed to stay there. So not always it works out how you want. So he had to pull. You know, it took a couple of years till he was able to find a solution. But it all the matters of the, also the attitude, how you look at things. And I'll give you an example. When I got married, my wife used to rent apartments in Manhattan. She used to do real estate. And I used to study in a kollel. And then she got pregnant. And towards the end of her pregnancy, she was like, look, you know, I have some customers. It's a shame that we'll miss them. Why don't you take the keys, go and show the apartments? And in my mind, I was like, man, now she's taking me out of yeshiva. My whole day is going to be ruined. And where to sit? She's sending me to Manhattan, the ultimate tuma. And I'm going to have to deal with people and women. And I'm going to not study Torah. I was like, I don't want to do it. So I could look at it in a very negative way by saying, I don't want to do it. It's taking me to a bad place. And I'm not going to learn Torah. And it's taking me out of my day. Go do it yourself. I could have looked at it in a very negative way. But I chose to say, no, this is an opportunity. I'm going to now meet a lot of people. And I'm going to be able to lekarev people. So I would go into the city. And I didn't think of, okay, right now I'm not learning Torah. It was winter, I had a long coat. My whole coat was full of CDs, brochures, tefillin, candles. I was like a maniac. So somebody would come to see the apartment. I wouldn't ask them, you know, what's your budget? I would tell them, are you Jewish? You're Jewish? Oh, come here, I have a CD for you. Here's a brochure. Here, did you put tefillin today? Let's put the tefillin on. I wouldn't even ask them what's, and, you know, I wouldn't care about the apartment. So I didn't see it as a negative thing that now I'm going to go now to a place of tumah. I saw an opportunity that now I have an opportunity to mingle with people. And you know any people I can meet today? I would come home. My wife would tell me, how many apartments did you show? I told them, who cares how many I show? You know how many men I put filling on today? You know how many women I invited to a class? You know how many CDs I gave? So I didn't see it as a negative thing. I reversed it to see, oh, this is an opportunity now to do good. So, anything in life, you can look at it in a negative way. Like she said, I tried everything, and it doesn't work. No, it all depends on how you look at things. You can look at things in a negative way and say, I don't want to do it, or it doesn't work. Or you can look at it in a positive way and say, hey, wait a minute, there's an opportunity right now. Hashem put me in this place. It must be that I can do something. I can do an action right now that will do something. And I was like, you know what? In my life, how many times I did Chilul Hashem, now I have an opportunity to do Kiddush Hashem, to walk in the street like a Jewish Orthodox man, and to smile at the right time, and to greet people the right way. And you know, I would sit on the subway, and on the subway come all the homeless people, they come and they ask for money. Now, even though you know that most of these people, the money goes straight to alcohol or drugs or bad place, when a homeless person or somebody poor would come on the train to ask for money, I would right away, that everybody would see, pull out a dollar from my pocket to give to that person. Not because I wanted to give the charity, because I wanted everybody to see, oh, the Jew got up and gave him money. And then you can fix the Chilul Hashem that I did here so many times, now I can do Kiddush Hashem. So it says, Bechol drachecha da'ehu. Every second you have an opportunity to do something. So any time, one can look at the situation as very negative, and one can look at the situation as very positive and to actually do. And dafka, when you do, that's when you actually fix all the blemishes. When you're looking at it in a negative way, you're putting yourself tachat hamemshelet haklipa. You're putting yourself in the, you know how they have spotlights in a show, and you walk around and the spotlight walks around next to you? You can choose on which spotlight you put yourself under. You can put yourself under the spotlight of negativity, and you can put yourself under the spotlight of positivity. If there's such a word, positivity. Mm-hmm. There is? Yeah, good, absolutely. Thank you. So the whole point is, we totally got sidetracked. The whole point is that we all have this chut to do tshuva. And we all have the obligation to keep all the Torah and mitzvahs. Nobody can get any discount and say, I'm doing 50%, that's good enough. I'm doing 70%, it's good enough. A person needs to strive to do 100%. It's a It's a tahlich, it's a process. It doesn't do it, don't do it overnight. But as long as you have the destination, then you, at least you're going on some type of a path. And the point is not to constantly say, okay, I mastered this, this, and this, I'm good to go. Constantly to add another thing, and another thing, and another thing, and to see how I'm slowly, slowly reversing all my problems. And to accept that all the yisurim, all the hardship that I'm getting is actually good. It's coming to wash my soul. It's coming to clean me. It's actually a good thing. And when a person says, okay, I already mastered the tshuva. When I did tshuva, I said, okay, you know how many kretot I have to fix? First of all, let's master Pesach. That's the easiest. It's only once a year. Let's master then Yom Kippur. It's easy. It's once a year. Then I'll do Shabbat. Then I'll do this. Then I'll do this. You have to do a lot of them. And when you figure out, when you reach to the point that you kind of covered a lot, now I have a geraon, I have a minus. You all know my story, and whoever don't know, go and watch it. But they told me that I have a 15-year deficit. They said, till the age of 13, we'll forgive you. From 13 till 28, you have 15 years. You have a minus. You have to pay back what you didn't do. What you did, you have to fix. What you didn't do, you have to pay back. And we all have this deficit. So the way to fix it is to make others do it. And I gave you a few advices today. You want, I'll give you more advice. For every mitzvah that you think you can do, there's a solution how to do it. For studying Torah, for anything, there's a solution how to do it. The easiest way is just to attach yourself to the right group that you know that you can support whoever needs to do whatever they need to do. And if you have a Shabbat table, you invite people who don't keep Shabbat. And if you can't do that, then you can support with your money, you can support with your time, you can support with your house. You can't teach Torah, you give your house once a week for a rabbi to come and give out a class. It's like you get part of it. You get deficits of it. Our mitzvot is like a multi-level marketing. The ones that are on the top making all commissions from everybody on the bottom. So if a person wants to be smart, he says, okay, I'm going to do my mitzvot, but let me also make a mif'al, a factory of other mitzvot. Where am I going to add more? So there's always a way to fix everything. We have a promise from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that says, "Ein davar amed bifnei tshuva, kol od haner dolek efshar letaken." Nothing stands in front of tshuva. The gates of tshuva are always open to Hashem. We always can do tshuva, and as long as the candle is up, is light, is lit, you can letaken, you can fix. V'im aminim shefshar letaken, a person can fix everything. The person just needs to understand in his mind, first of all, where did I did the sin? If I don't know my problems, I don't know what to fix. So even though it's a very long topic, I kind of covered today the basic that one can go home and say, okay, what is my work now so I can continue my tshuva, that I can first of all stop everything that I did to understand that all the hardship that I get is good, it's cleaning me, and my goal is to get to Gan Eden because I want to be in the fifth level of Gan Eden. Not in the first or the second or the third. I want to be in the fifth. במקום שבעלי תשובה גמורים עומדים, צדיקים גמורים אינם עומדים. I want to be in the level of a בעל תשובה, not חוזר בתשובה, that goes back all the time, to the בעל תשובה, the one who owns the תשובה. Just a little bit louder, right?
You know how you said one of the second step is you have to feel remorse. And you even said, nowadays it's really hard. I mean, for some things, obviously, but let's say, know something that maybe doesn't mean as much to you. Maybe you try to make sure not to do it, but the fact that you did it before doesn't really bother you. It's like, you know, it's.
I'll tell you. I'm going. Everybody heard the question. She has a very good question.
I understand the question.
Okay. I said that one of the stages of tshuva is to have charata, to have remorse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's real remorse? Imagine now you buy a lottery ticket. And then a friend comes and tells you, can you sell me that ticket for $1,000? Of course I can sell you this ticket. I bought it for a dollar. You want $1,000? You right away give the ticket and you take your $1,000. The following week you find out that this is the winning ticket of the mega million, the $200 million. And you just blew it away for $1,000. How would you feel? That's the type of remorse you want to get when you do an avera. Now, to get to that level is very hard. The only way to get to that level is when you do all the mitzvot. Why? Because when a person does half of the mitzvot, he loses the sensitivity to the bad things. So he doesn't avera and he doesn't feel anything wrong in it. He knows that it's bad to do, and he knows it's a sin and he doesn't want to do it again, but he doesn't feel. In order to feel, to have sensitivity to the lack of connection of Hashem, it's only when you're 100% connected to Hashem.
Nobody can do that anyway, right?
It can be done.
You said nobody can do all of the mitzvot now.
Why not?
You can't go to the Beit HaMikdash.
So you learn, I said that there are three levels of observing the mitzvot, in thought, speech, and action. So if you can't do the mitzvah in action, you can do it in thought, and you can do it in speech. All the mitzvot in our days you can do in speech, in thought. So if I don't have a Beit HaMikdash right now, and I don't have priests, and I can't give Meiser, and I can't give all these things that has to do with Beit HaMikdash, then I do it with my mouth, and I do it with my thought. But when a person, why do you see people who become religious, and they become fanatically religious? People sometimes tell me, you know, you scare me. Because I see you doing tshuva, and you're like fanatic, and I don't want to be fanatic. I want to be a normal person. So my explanation is why am I fanatic along with the other millions that are fanatic? Because the only way to reach my essence and to reach to completion is if I do everything. And not only that I do everything milifnim mishurat hadin. So if I want to reach the highest floor of the building, I have to climb all the floors. I can't go only to first floor and say, I don't want to go to the penthouse, but I want to be there. You can't do that. So if a person wants to reach the top, he has to climb all the levels. That's what you see in a lot of people, that they become Baal Tshuva. Some will define them as fanatic. It's not fanatic. They just do everything.
Let's say, for instance, women don't have to pray three times a day.
They have to pay one. Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm saying, if I pray once, does that mean that but men pray three times a day? Does that mean I have to pay three times a day?
No. You have to do what you're obligated in doing.
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, I'm not a Kohen. I'm not a man.
So you don't have to do what you don't have to do.
So I don't have those.
No, so you don't have to do it.
You're saying you have to do all of them.
No. The thing is like this. What you are not obligated to do, you don't have to do. Okay? You can still do all the mitzvot in thought and in action and in speech. So the thing is like this. If you want to reach to completion, you first of all master what you have to do. When you master what you have to do, then we'll talk again. Because even if you don't have to do a lot of the mitzvot, most people, they don't do all the mitzvot they have to do. So when you reach to the level that you're doing everything that you have to do as a woman, and no Beit HaMikdash and all the rest of the halachot, then we'll go to stage B. So if you reached all that you have to do right now, I can assure you, you're going to elevate yourself to much a higher level, that A, the mitzvot are going to become more part of you. You're going to love doing the mitzvot because you're going to feel something inside of you. B, you're going to gain the sensitivity that when you turn on the light, by mistake, you leaned on the wall and you turn the light on Shabbat, you'll feel like crying. And most... Yeah. And the only way to gain this feeling that you really feel that I can't believe I just did this, is only when you serve Hashem in completion, that these channels, these fiber optics are all perfect. If you have one of them cut, you're missing the connection. You don't hear so well. If you're missing half of them, then you did chas v'shalom a sin, you don't really feel like, okay, big deal. So the only way to reach to that level is only by serving Hashem in completion. If a person doesn't serve Hashem in completion, then this is the problem why most people, they have such a yetzer hara, and they have such a fight all the time, and it's not stable. There's no yetzivut. It's not flowing. Because most people, they do a lot of mitzvot, but on the other hand, they do a lot of avirot, they do a lot of sins. So the Avodat Hashem is constantly this battle, backwards forth. And they have this constantly this doubt, this they don't feel like doing it, they have this heaviness. Why? Imagine, like, look at like a scale. If you put equal on both sides, it's, you know, you put 1 gram on one side, it will tilt. You put 1 gram here, it will tilt here. If you're putting just here, then everything will tilt to one direction. So if a person is 50% mitzvot, 50% averot, he's constantly going to be swinging.
Okay, but let me put it to you this way. Let's say even if someone does bother you, something, you know, I've had things where sometimes something will bother me. Like, you know, I feel like I'm being pulled in a direction. And I had actually some kind of conversation recently with my rabbi about it, and I said, this happened, and it bothers me. And he said to me, he said, don't be so hard on yourself. There's that too.
Okay. That's why you need guidance from the right person.
Too much pressure on yourself. Stop being so hard on yourself.
But not pushing, putting pressure on yourself is a very good advice, but one cannot come to do a sin and give it an excuse by saying, I don't want to put pressure on myself. You have to have a very clear definition. That's why I told you last time we spoke, your mentor, your rabbi has to be a very good mentor that knows how to give you the right advice at the right time. Because I know a lot of people that they went to the rabbi and the rabbi said, don't be so hard on yourself. And then they're like, okay, I can do this sin because my rabbi told me not to be so hard on myself. You cannot get yourself a discount on the account of, you know, it's like she said, you know, I live far away and the Shabbat and all that.
So, my Kiruv rabbi told me once, not me, but in a Torah lesson, he said, if someone does not progress in their Teshuvah, in their Chozer Teshuvah, there always can be regress to Sheela, Lachzor B'Sheela.
Yeah.
If he lo
constant,
ב'Chazara B'Tshuvah, הוא תמיד יכול לחזור. אני אמרתי, חס ושלום, אני נכנסתי כזה לפחד.
You're right.
Progressing, always.
I say it in a more funny way, that your tshuva, your path to tshuva is like riding a bike. If it's hard, it means you're going up. If it's easy, it means you're going down. And if you stand in the same spot where you are, you're going to fall. That's it. So if your tshuva is hard, it means you're going up, and you're going up, and it's going to get harder, and get harder, and get harder. It's just going to get harder. And if it gets easy, it means you're going down. And if you're going down, you know, it's not in the path you want to go. So, to first answer your first question, the only way to reach to the level that you feel the remorse is only one way, is only if you serve a sermon completion. And I guarantee to you, and I know many people, that they reach to the level that they're serving Hashem in completion, meaning that they're totally devoted to Hashem, yeah, you feel, if I turn off the light off by mistake on Shabbat, I will ruin my Shabbat. I will have...
Ruining your Shabbat is also not supposed to be part of Shabbat.
Okay, so then comes my Yetzer HaTov, and he will tell me to go and study a little bit Torah, and I'll...
So what
about? So, the thing is that you can always find the opposition to what you want to say. But what I'm saying is that I'm not saying that I turn off the light and I'm depressed the whole Shabbat. I'm not. I don't let it get to me. But I feel on that same spot that.
But what I'm saying is that there are different levels. For instance, like,
look, of course, there's different levels.
You know, Baruch Hashem, I'm at the point where, like, for instance, my anger thing, I've managed. I'm not saying that I never get upset. I do get upset. Sometimes maybe I do say something. So like I remember a few years ago something happened and I really blew up. And I literally felt physically something like it was weird. I physically felt like I lost something. And that was very painful. But how often does something like that happen?
I can tell you from my own experience that in the beginning it was very hard for me to feel remorse. I was 28, 29, 30, started doing my tshuva. Half of the sins I was like, I don't care, hey, who cares? It took, and I was like, you know, I'm missing that part of my tshuva. I don't feel this remorse. And only once I reached a level that I can't tell myself that I serve Hashem in completion, because we're all human. But when I reached to a level that I felt comfortable enough to say, you know what, I'm covering all the mitzvot, and I'm doing exactly what Hashem tells me, and I'm really in a much higher level, that's when I started feeling this remorse, feeling bad for things. And you can only feel it when you are 100% tuned in to Hashem. And when people come to tell me, you know, how you said, who cares? And I don't feel bad when I do a sin, and I don't feel bad that I do this. Yeah, it's only because the majority of these mitzvot that you do are right now in the domain of the klipa, so you don't have this sensitivity. People who are far away from religion and they have too many of these separations, these fiber optics that are cut, these strings, they lose the sensitivity. That's why you see a person who's totally secular, there's no sensitivity. Sensitivity, I mean that they don't have sensitivity to religion or Torah or mitzvot. Go now to the street. I now saw somebody send me in an email a video of a person standing in the street, somewhere probably in Tel Aviv, trying to put tefillin on men. And he's trying to stop the people, and he's like, you want to put tefillin on? You want to put tefillin on? Nobody's even looking at him. They're all like, and he's like, and he's saying in Hebrew, you want to put tefillin? People are like, not even looking to his direction. And he's like standing there trying to find one person to put tefillin on. So the thing is that some people are so far away, they you turn to them, come and do a mitzvah, you look like an alien. You're like, what? Get away from me. I have a friend who looks like me, long beard, suit, the whole thing. He told me he was recently in Israel. He told me, I went on a bus, and he's a Baal Tshuva. He said he sat down next to a person like this in the bus. He told me the person was like that, like literally like that. So he turns around to him and he tells him, are you okay? He's like, so he tells him like, what's your problem? Am I disgusting you? He couldn't answer even. He just sat like this. You know, and doesn't matter. My friend is Israeli, is chutzpan. You know, he started talking to him chutzpan in a positive way, and they got into a conversation, and he put him in his spot because, you know, after he told me that after 10 minutes of the guy being like this, my friend is a very funny guy, and he tells me he suddenly mumbled, "Kulchem oto davar, you're all the same." So my friend tells him, "No, we're not all the same. Why are you saying kulchem oto davar? Why are you saying that?" Anyways, he got into a conversation with him. That it's off, totally off the subject, but you see a person, in the end he put him in his spot. Because they got to the argument about the army, and he told him, my friend told him, where were you in the army? He was like, I had a job here and there. So my friend told him, oh yeah, I was 3 years in Golani. So, you know, lo kulchem oto davar, we're not all the same. Anyways, he put him in his spot. The point is that he just saw the look, and I get it too when I go certain places. Now, on the surface, it's the look. In the pnimiyut ha'inyanim, my soul is radiating kedusha. The other person, the soul, is so dirty from tuma that it's opposes the kedusha. The klipa opposes kedusha. So when you turn to a person like this, they look at you like an alien. Zavuti, leave me alone. What are you talking about? Why? Because there's zero sensitivity. Then you get the person a little bit closer, or a person is, let's say, you know, has something. You know, he goes to shul once a year in Yom Kippur. Whatever. He's never eat pork. Whatever. He has something. There's a little bit of sensitivity. You can invite the person to a class or something. The more you grow in Kedusha, the level of sensitivity grows with it. That's why you see a person totally devoted to Hashem. The level of sensitivity to Kedusha, to holiness, is refined. The more the person is growing away from Hashem, then there's no sensitivity. Then he did a certain sin. How you said? Who cares? He doesn't. You have to have a good balance. So if a person, when people come to me and they tell me, I don't feel bad when I do a sin, what's my remedy?
I tell them. I don't feel bad about doing a sin. I said it just not everything makes you feel bad.
So then you have to work on yourself. Then you have to work to elevate yourself, that you're going to feel bad when you're doing something wrong, and that you'll reach to that level that the remorse, you'll feel bad, like the example I gave you with the $1 million lottery.
Like you might could try to, like, if I have a thing about, I don't know, if I have a cuticle or something, and I really need, I'm one of those crazy people that I have to have it off. So maybe I'll put a Band-Aid over it on Shabbat instead of taking the cuticle removers. But it doesn't mean I feel bad if I did it once. You know what I'm saying?
So you're good, so you have to work on yourself.
But and it's hard for me, and I don't do it. But it doesn't mean that I feel bad that I did it. You know what I'm saying?
So if you don't feel bad about something, then what's the point? What's the whole concept of not listening to Hashem? The definition of an avera, there's a chain reaction when a person does an avera. What's avera? Avera is a sin. But in Hebrew, the words have meanings. Avera comes from the word avar, lavor. So when a person does an avera, who over me, the domain, he moves himself from the domain of holiness to the domain of unholiness. Who avar mi atzad azel, letzad azel, mitzad hakdusha, letzad hatumah. He moved himself. This is avera. So when I do a sin, I separate myself from Hashem. Why? Because I didn't listen to His will. Avar al ratzon Hashem. This is the definition of a sin. Avar al ratzon Hashem. He did not listen to Hashem. Hashem told me to do this. I didn't do. Now, if I feel I don't feel anything, means that my sensitivity to Hashem is so low that I don't feel bad that I separated myself from Hashem. If now, imagine you can talk to a fish, and you would pull the fish out of the water, and he starts choking because he needs the water. Imagine you can talk to the fish and tell him, how do you feel? What do we say? I need the water. I must have the water. So we don't feel it because we are covered with this godly power, what's called in the Lashon of Kabbalah, Tzimtzum. Hashem covers us that when we get separated from Hashem, we don't feel this separation. If we wouldn't have this koach, this power of Tzimtzum, right away we would, like a fish going out of the water. But Hashem created it so we will have what's called freedom of choice. But a fish you pull out of the water, he will choke on the spot. A Jew, you pull him away from Hashem, if he would feel it, he would freak out on the spot. But you don't feel it. So if the level of sensitivity is low, a Jew will do a sin. You know, I have a friend, one came to my house, and we had a whole debate of Shabbat, and just to make his point, and to annoy me, he went like this with the light. Up and down, up and down, up and down. And he told me, look, nothing's happening. You know? So he's trying to make a point, nothing's happening. So I told him, you know, I gave him a different answer. But the level of sensitivity is so nothing that he doesn't feel anything. Why? Because there's no connection to Hashem. If there's a good connection with Hashem, 1 second you're separated, you're not balanced. You don't know what's going on with yourself. So you want to strive to reach to that level. And how do you reach to that level? You have 620 channels where Hashem is connected to you. If you constantly feed all these channels, trust me, 1 second without Hashem, you'll get out of place.
I'm curious about something. The seven laws of Noah, the Noahide laws, aren't they part of the 613? Why do you keep saying 613?
No, because there's 613 mitzvahs from the Torah, and there's 7 mitzvahs from the sages. It has nothing to do with Sheva mitzvot ben Noach.
Oh.
The 7 mitzvahs from the sages. Lighting candles is from the sages. Lighting Chanukah candles is sages. When you read Hallel, that's from the sages. The 7 mitzvot that are from the Rabbanan. So it's 620. It's nothing to do with the mitzvot ben Noach. So to finish your first question, the only advice for a person to reach the sensitivity is to connect himself more to Hashem. That's the only way to do it. The more you connect yourself more to Hashem, the closer you feel to Him, the any time you would get a separation, you will feel that separation. I'm very connected to my kids. If my kids go now to a summer camp for 3-4 days, I feel, where's my child? I miss him. Because I built a connection. Anything can be, you know, I always tell my wife, I gave her an example because why did Hashem created separation? So you can appreciate the connection. That's why Hashem separated us from Him, so we'll appreciate the fact that we are connected to Him. And I told my wife a few weeks ago, I flew to New York. I had four lectures. I was invited for four lectures. I flew 4 days, Wednesday to Sunday. And in the beginning, I don't like flying away from my family. When people have been places invite me to speak, a few years ago I used to travel more. Now I don't travel to lectures because it's not fair to my wife to leave her by myself. And you know what? I don't like being away from my family. It's not fair to them. And if I already fly, my rule is no Shabbat. I fly Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't go away for Shabbat. In this particular case, I had to stay Shabbat. So I went from Wednesday till Sunday. You know how much I missed my kids and my wife? And during the day, I see my wife and kids every day. I don't miss them. I see them all the time. When do I miss them? When I don't have them next to me. When I'm far away, I'm 3,000 miles away. I kept texting my wife and Skyping with my kids and every night, good night, and I love you, and I... And I told my wife, you see, everything in this world you learn is a reflection from above. So when do you realize that you miss your loved ones? When you're away from them. So when do you realize you miss Hashem? When you're away from Hashem. Now if you don't realize that you miss Hashem, must be that the connection is cut. That's what I said before. If a person, Chas v'Shalom, transgresses one of the sins of Karet, he has a problem, because his Avodat Hashem, he does a lot of mitzvot, but there's such a separation that that person will not be sensitive to many things, and will have a Yetzer Hara, he's not going to want to do anything, and he's going to have so many doubts, and so many questions, and so many ifs. So when people come to me and tell me, look, I do mitzvot, I'm a religious person, but I have the biggest Yetzer Hara. I doubt everything. I don't want to keep Shabbat. I don't want to do anything. So tell them, you have to look around. Maybe you did one of the averot that you have a von karet. Maybe you did chilul Shabbat. Maybe you pagam b'brit. Maybe you did something that you have... Pagam b'brit is when a man spills semen. So maybe you have chas v'shalom a von karet. You have to fix it. And if you don't have the Avon Karet, your soul is basically now separated. The connection is weak. Because if the connection is very strong, you should not have a problem serving Hashem. Yeah, you'll have Yisurim, you'll have Nisyonot, but you're going to be strong. You're going to say, okay, Zemeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, I'll pass it. You have Bitachon, you have Emunah, you have trust. But when a person is cutting all these strings, what connection will you have to Hashem? And then comes all the doubts and all the ifs and all the whys and all the kvetching and all the shmetching. Yeah, because there's no connection. And then when chas v'shalom you do a sin, whatever. It's not like I killed somebody. I just did something small. So, and I get it all the time. The people come and tell me, what? I didn't murder anyone. I just did this and this. It's not so serious. Yeah, maybe in your eyes it's not so serious. It's almost like saying, I didn't kill my kid, I just cut his finger off. He has another 9 fingers. It's not such a big deal. So I'm giving an extreme example, but that's how the klipa works in the person's mind. Oh, no, it's not such a big deal. I turned the light on, big deal. I didn't pray, big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. You just don't notice, you don't value it as a big deal. And that's the problem when a person is 50-50, that's the problem with a lot of people who are becoming balei tshuva, or they are religious, they were born religious, but it's 70-30, or 50, whatever. Doesn't matter the ratio.
It's been a lot easier for some people than other people. If you're constantly being tested,
of course,
constantly put on the spot, constantly, and you're managing and you're doing the best you can with what you have, and
there's always going to be these tests and always going to be these battles. The point is that if you go now to a doctor, not a new age doctor that will just give you pills, a real doctor, the refuah, the medicine for any sickness is not necessarily to go and heal the place that is sick. That's what doctors do today. They give a pill. Rather to strengthen the other places that are not sick. And if you go to alternative medicine, Chinese medicine, all the rest of the refuah, the medicines, They don't go to heal the problem. They go and strengthen other organs. And then you balance it out. Mm-hmm. So it's the same in Avodat Hashem. If I'm very, I have a lot of problems here. I have a big Yetzer Hara here. I have a lot of issues in this department. So don't concentrate on this all the time because you're not going to win it. You're going to bang your head at the wall. Go and strengthen here. And when you strengthen this side, you overpower the deficiency here. Today's doctors, they solve things very simple. Take a pill, everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you just, even though you're numbing, what are you doing? You're numbing the infected area. You're numbing the pain in that area. That's not a refuah. That's a refuah means to heal. This is not to heal. This is to shut down, to numb. So,
take care of the symptoms.
Exactly.
The source of the problem.
Exactly. So, Chassidut explains in Avodat Hashem, there's always going to be one area that is easy, one area that is very hard. If you're constantly going to work on the hard, what's going to happen? All the negativity will go to that department to battle you, and you can't fight it. So, what's the Yetzah? The Yetzah pulls you there, you go there. So you have an issue in this department, I can't fight this department, go and strengthen this. I have a student that comes and tells me, he's a religious man. He tells me, look, I have a problem, I have a serious problem, I have a problem with looking in the wrong places in the internet. I can't. First of all, I told him, get off the internet. Yeah, but I work, it's in my work. I told him, so you know what, if it's this department is hard for you, how many hours a day do you study? I don't get much to study. Half an hour. So study 4 hours. Strengthen here. You'll come home, you'll have power. You can fight this department. This limb is already in the klipa. It's going to be hard for you to get out. So if you can't fight this, go and strengthen something else. Go and study. Make it your business to study 3-4 hours a day. Yeah, no, you're right. You will sin. And all the Torah that you learn is going to go to the domain of the klipa. But you'll get it back. It's like a savings account. But every time, then let's say, chas v'shalom, in a month, you sin 10 times. So you need to now work on it to sin 9 times. And then you're going to bring it down to sin 8 times. You can't get it off. You can't, you know, why we do, you know, we do mayin achronim when we bench. It's a more mystical explanation to it. You know, they say, the halakha says in the olden days that the hands were dirty, not to wash the salt off. But really what you do is like a seir la'azazel. You throw yetzer hara and say, chelek adam rasha. Kach, take something. Take a little bit of water. You symbolize it. You're giving on there, because the klipot, they grab on your nails. You give a little bit of water. Here, shut up. I gave you something. Like a dog comes around the table, you throw him a bone. You have to sometimes give your Yetzer Hara something, throw him a bone. You have to know how to do it. Some people, they give the whole steak, not the bone. But the thing is, it's if a person has a problem, the Yetzer Hara, you know, is like a dog. It's going to bite, it's not going to let go. So you have to know how to. So with this particular man, I told him, what's your problem? 10 times a month you do the sin? Okay, now we have to work on reducing it to 9 times, and to 8 times, and to 7 times. And every time you reduce it once, you achieve something. But if you can't fight this department, go and strengthen that department. Mm-hmm. And that's the advice for anything. Because every person has his own department of problems. One, it's the easiest thing to pray, and for the other one, it's the hardest thing to pray. One, it's the easiest thing to give charity, the other one is the hardest thing to pray. Each one has his own thing to work on.